You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast brought to you by William Hill, the midweek edition, as we look ahead to the second leg of the quarterfinals in both the Champions League, and we'll also preview Arsenal's trip to CSKA Moscow in the Europa League. Sam Norris in the presenter's chair this week and on punditing duties, trying to find a few winners from these matches. Dave Kellner, the man joining me in the studio. How are you, DK?
I'm very well, thank you, Samuel. I'm looking forward to the Champions League, as always. Unfortunately, we've got the four semi-finalists sorted already.
Yeah,
from a betting perspective.
I was just about to say, without wanting to start the podcast on a negative note, are all five of the games that we're previewing, in terms of the tie, a bit of a foregone conclusion?
They could be dead rubbers, definitely. Yeah. I think maybe we might have some drama in one or two of them, perhaps. Maybe just the one of them, but I mean, there are still bets to be found, and there are a few lopsided 90-minute markets there as well that maybe we can exploit on this podcast. So hopefully we'll be able to pick out some tasty bets, at least give you advertise some of these bets anyway that are on the William Hill website and on the app.
And we saw, of course, with PSG versus Barcelona next year, there's no such thing as a foregone conclusion in this game. Just before we get stuck into some of the European football this week, we've got to talk about that Manchester derby on Saturday evening, DK. Manchester City seemingly cruising to the earliest Premier League title in history at halftime. A seriously good comeback in the second half from Manchester United, inspired by Paul Pogba, who's come in for his fair share of flack throughout the course of the season. He was visibly delighted at the end of the game, as he has every right to be. It was a thrilling game, especially after the non-event of the Merseyside derby that preceded it.
It was just bizarre, really, because Manchester United looked like a beaten team going down that tunnel at half-time. And Mourinho, apparently, his rallying cry at half-time, Chris Smalling said that you don't want to be the clowns there stood on the pitch at the end when Manchester City raised the trophy aloft. And perhaps that inspired them, or maybe it was City just collapsing slightly in the second half defensively. But Pogba getting a couple, Smalling getting the winner just before the 70th minute mark. I thought it was just one of the weirdest games of football you're ever likely to see. And it was impossible to predict at halftime.
Yeah, definitely so. I did think, obviously, as galling as it is to lose the derby, there are a few Manchester City fans at full time needing to have a bit of a word with themselves. They're going to win the title next week or maybe the week after.
They're still 13 points clear at the top, aren't they? I mean, it is
it's not nice to lose the derby and to lose it
I think it's disconcerting the fact they've conceded six goals in a week for City as well, moving on to this moving into this crucial game that they've got on Tuesday night. So, yeah, I understand those sentiments. And City fans, when they reflect on what they've achieved at the end of the season, they will be ecstatic. But given that they had looked, for the majority of the season, infallible, they're beginning to creak a little bit.
Yes. We'll start with Manchester City this week as well. They're in action, of course, against Liverpool on the Tuesday night. Manchester City 1-2 here. The draw 19-5. Liverpool 5-1. Of course, Liverpool beaten Manchester City in the Premier League already this season. They beat them last week comprehensively, winning 3-0. And the game was signed, sealed and delivered after the half-hour mark, really. However, with that in mind, And I know that Manchester City, the impetus is completely on them. Liverpool don't have to go out and win this game. I was surprised to see Manchester City as short as twos on here and Liverpool fives against. I understand that they don't need to win this game, Liverpool. They don't even need to draw it. But those 90-minute prices surprised me a little bit, given Liverpool have beaten them twice this season.
Yeah, me too, actually. The fixture at the Etihad, though, that finished 5-0 to Manchester City, that's when Sadio Mane got sent off.
Yes, so, for that high boot on Edison.
Yeah so if you're looking at a situation, if you fancy Manchester City maybe to go through to qualify, which I can't see happening. It's 4-1 Manchester City to qualify and overturn that 3-0 deficit. Liverpool 1-7. I think the key to this match is the betting, because I don't think Manchester City, when I came into the office this morning, we're recording this on Monday afternoon, Manchester City were 4-9 to win this game.
Right.
They've drifted out to 1-2. I can see that price drifting even further in the lead up to kickoff. When you consider that at the weekend, even though he was always going to rest a few players, Pep Guardiola, Manchester City were just a shade of odds on to beat Manchester United. And I think it's kind of widely acknowledged that Liverpool this season, strangely, are a better team than Manchester United, even though they have underperformed in the league.
Yeah.
Or not gathered as many points as United in the league. But City at 1-2 is definitely too short. They'll be boosted by the return of Sergio Aguero, you'd expect in this match. And it was strange at the weekend. You look at the team that Guardiola sent out for the game against Manchester United, playing without a recognised striker, played with Leroy Sané, Raheem Sterling and Bernardo Silva. And you think if he's going to rest Gabriel Jesus and Sergio Aguero, is he intending on playing both of them in this fixture on Tuesday night? I'm not so sure. So that was a slightly strange team selection. Danilo played at right back with Fabian Delph at left back at the weekend. Now in the first leg of this matchup, they played with Aymeric Laporte at left back and Kyle Walker obviously at right back.
Both players were tortured really throughout the 90 minutes.
They were particularly Laporte. And that's where they've started to look a little bit suspect, because Nicolas Otamendi has come in for rave reviews throughout the season, but has he overnight just turned into a much better player? Or has he just performed above expectations this season and he's regressing to the mean now,
as it were. Sure.
And I think in that first leg, you saw Otamendi lose the ball on two separate occasions, which proved ultimately very costly. When Oxlade-Chamberlain gathered possession, that was on the back of an Otamendi error in the first leg. And I'd been convinced in the lead up to the season that Vincent Kompany had his best days were behind him. And he seems to have stepped forward as well this season and had one of his better campaigns. It wouldn't surprise me if John Stones played in this match.
Okay.
Because they were terrorised in that first leg by Liverpool. But I think the betting here is framed around the potential team news. Mohamed Salah could be out.
Yes.
And Jurgen Klopp's doing a press conference later on this afternoon, as we record this on Monday. And if Salah is out, that's going to be a huge blow for Liverpool. They'll have to rejig things if he's an absentee. And the reason I could never back City at 4-1 to qualify is because I think Liverpool will score in this game. I don't think City are strong enough defensively to keep Liverpool out for 90 minutes. If Liverpool do score, City have got to score 5, and I can't see that happening. So I fancy both teams to score in this game. I think it will be very open, because I think City will dominate possession and Jurgen Klopp will set his team up more defensively than he has done previously and try and nullify City's potency in attack. So I like Liverpool. I like both teams to score in the game, which is as short as 2-5.
Right.
Which is very short. But I like City to win and both teams to score in the match, which is 29-20. I think City will get the job done, but I wouldn't want to back them at 1-2. But to back them to win and both teams to score at 29-20, seems okay to me. And Liverpool are bidding to become the first team to beat Manchester City three times in the same season since Manchester United did that back in 2009-2010. And Liverpool have scored more goals than any other side in the competition this season as well, so I don't think Man City can keep them out here. And Jurgen Klopp's got the Indian sign over Pep Guardiola as well. He's beaten him more often than any other manager.
Right.
Six wins against Guardiola in his career. And I think the big thing from a Liverpool perspective in that first leg was Guardiola had a plan to try and target Trent Alexander-Arnold with that diagonal ball to Leroy Sané.
Yeah.
And Alexander-Arnold stepped forward and he withstood that pressure. Virgil van Dijk's just been absolutely superb since he's slotted in January. So I think things are definitely looking up for Liverpool. They were sensational in that first leg. They'll qualify, but I think City win this game and both teams score.
Manchester City to win with both teams getting on the score sheet. Far too early to talk of such things, Dave, but are Liverpool going to be serious title candidates next season?
I think they've got a strengthening midfield still.
Right.
I think that front three are just phenomenal, aren't they? Mm. As long as he can keep all those players intact going into the next campaign, which I think he will.
Yeah.
They'll be a threat going forward. But I still don't see a midfield trio of Henderson, Chan, Milner, Oxlade-Chamberlain. I don't see that as a strong enough midfield to challenge for the title. And I think they need another centre-half as well. So there is still work to do on that squad, and Jurgen Klopp will realise that going into the summer.
OK, the second game we're going to take a look at on Tuesday night is Roma versus Barcelona. At the time recording, Roma 4-1 here. The draw 16-5, Barcelona 4-6. At the time recording, the trade is so confident of Barcelona progressing to the next round, you can't even take a price on them to win the tie. 4-6 win the match in 90 minutes. They've got a 4-1 lead on aggregate from the first tie. And again, 90-minute betting looks interesting here, Dave, because despite the fact that, again, Barcelona don't need to win the game, a lot of people will think 4-6 to beat Roma in 90 minutes isn't that bad. How do you view this one?
Yeah, I think it's okay. It does concern me backing a team away from home in a Champions League quarter-final fixture at odds on when they don't need to win.
Yeah,
that's the only real negative. But the reverse leg was a comprehensive Barcelona victory, won that game 4-1, couple of own goals in there as well from Danilo De Rossi and Costas Manolos, but Gerard Piqué scored, and Edin Dzeko, it looked like, that had just briefly lifted Roma, but Luis Suarez getting that late goal gives them such a cushion going into this second leg.
Yeah, because if it finished 3-1 and Roma have got an away goal,
there's
then
a chance,
maybe a squeak.
There's a chance, yeah. But you look at Roma's overall record against Spanish clubs. This is something I've mentioned on a previous podcast. We saw La Liga versus Serie A in a couple of fixtures, Champions League last week, and La Liga came out well on top. And you look at Roma's overall record against Spanish clubs, they've won 10, drawn 5, lost 16. Even at home, they've won 6, drawn 2 and lost 7. They're without a home win against La Liga sides since they beat Real Madrid back in 2007-2008. So, I mean, that's a long time. And even going into that first leg at the Camp Nou, they were on a 5-match unbeaten run, so went in with confidence. They were beaten again on Saturday by Fiorentina, 2-0. And Barcelona, still the only team, or still unbeaten in La Liga this season. They've won 24 and drawn 7. They didn't take the foot off the pedal at the weekend. They won 3-0 at home to CD Leganes. Lionel Messi scored all 3 of those goals for another hat-trick. That's his 3rd in the league this season. And he had scored in 8 consecutive Barcelona games before failing to score in the first leg. And he's still got 12 in his last 10, Lionel Messi. And you look at 8-11 for him to score any time, it's not the worst bet in the world. They have got the Copa del Rey final coming up against Sevilla later on in April, on the 21st, and that's a trophy they've won each of the last 3 seasons. So I'm sure they might have a look at that, or they might have one eye on that, knowing that they're going to progress from this fixture. But I don't mind Lionel Messi to score anytime, 8-11. We will have enhancements on the website and on the app as well, and Messi will be part of one of those enhancements. But again, with Roma having to go for it, Barcelona to win and both teams to score stands out to me again here at 19-10. I do think it will be reasonably entertaining, and I think Lionel Messi will get on the score sheet here at 8-11.
19-10 for Barcelona to win the match with both teams to score, and Lionel Messi could be the goal scorer play, the obvious goal scorer play at 8-11 in that one. On to Wednesday night's matches now, and we'll start with Bayern Munich taking on Sevilla. Bayern Munich 1-4 here. It's 5-1 about the draw, 12-1 for Sevilla. Bayern as short as 50-1 on to qualify from this one, 16-1 if you fancy Sevilla to get through to the next round. Just purely on the aggregate scoreline, this is the closest tie in inverted commas, with Bayern just holding a 2-1 aggregate lead, but they've got the two away goals. We know how good they are at home. Sevilla, probably the worst team left in the competition. They were beat 4-0 at the weekend by Celta Vigo. Even though it's only a one goal advantage for Bayern Munich, this almost looks equally as cut and dry, if not more so, as some of the teams who hold a three-goal lead going into the second leg.
Yeah, they won't be beaten, will they, by Munich? Not by this Sevilla side, anyway. I wasn't impressed with Sevilla when they played against Manchester United over those two legs, and this is something I commented on a previous podcast. I think if Manchester United had gone for the jugular in either of those ties, they would have progressed, and then they'd have been the ones getting beaten by Bayern Munich
yes.
in the quarterfinals. As it is, Sevilla got there. They've got a great home record as well, Sevilla. So for Bayern Munich to go there and win 2-1 just makes them cast iron certainties, I think, going into the second leg. Some stats here that are just astonishing. You look at their last two home games, Bayern Munich. They've won them both 6-0 against Hamburg and Borussia Dortmund back on the last day of March. And their home record this season, 1-17, drawn 2, lost none. 62 goals scored, 11 conceded. They've kept 4 successive clean sheets at home, 11 overall at home this season, which is just absolutely frightening stuff, really. And that leads me to Bayern Munich to win this game 2-0. I don't see them being troubled by Sevilla at all. I think 6-5 Bayern Munich to win 2-0 is a good price. I mean, they've only really got one player that's a threat in my mind, and that's Wissam Ben Yedder. He's the only player that I can see causing Bayern Munich any issues. He's 21-10 to score anytime if you're looking at this from a different angle, I suppose. He's got 13 in 18 appearances in all competitions this season, which is obviously good. He scored twice against Manchester United in that last 16 game as well. So, I mean, Ben Yedder's the only one that I can see threatening the Bayern goal. He's 21-10 to score any time, but I'd be looking at Robert Lewandowski. He's 2-5 to score any time, Lewandowski, which is just ludicrously short, and 2-1 to score first and last. But when those enhancements come live, I'd seriously consider having a Lewandowski and Bayern Munich to win bet if it's anything approaching 8-11, 4-6, anything like that sort of mark, really, for that bet. He wasn't used. He was an unused substitute on Saturday. He's got 14 in 13 competitive games in 2018 so far. So Bayern in the quarterfinals for a club record, 7th successive season. They lost at this stage to Real Madrid last season. They won't do that again. And Bayern Munich will go through, and they'll go through without conceding. And 6-5 for Bayern to win 2-0, a fine bet as far as I'm concerned.
I do like that bet. You mentioned they're the 4 consecutive clean sheets for Bayern Munich at home. Just taking a look at those 4 games, they've won an aggregate of 17-0 in those 4 matches. And one of those they didn't even score in. So the way that they're playing at home and scoring at the moment, 5-0 victory over Besiktas, held at home to Hertha Berlin, but then 6-0 wins against Hamburg and Borussia Dortmund. As you say, they are a powerful force at home at present. And
I think that's to do with the manager as well. I just think he's so strong in, he sets his team up so well in European competition. I think he's phenomenal.
Mm. I quite like the handicap markets in this one as well. -2 goals is 6-4 for Bayern Munich, which I could see happening against a Sevilla side who, as mentioned, are probably the poorest left in the competition. The final game on Wednesday then, in the final second leg of the Champions League quarterfinals, is Real Madrid versus Juventus. 8-13 here about Real Madrid. 16-5 the draw. Juventus are 9-2. As expected, Madrid 1-250 to qualify. Juve priced up at 25-1 if you fancy the shock result. Dominant performance by Real in the first leg. Madrid have got a 3-0 aggregate lead coming into this one. Ronaldo, of course, took the headlines with his superb overhead kick. And to go to a side like Juventus, who are so good at home and so good defensively, and take them to pieces with consummate ease like Real Madrid did last time out, it's just very hard to, again, make a case for the outside of the two here.
It was unbelievable, that performance. Because you think about, you mentioned Juventus's record. Just to flesh that out slightly, that 3-0 win in the first leg ended Juventus's 27-game, 5-year unbeaten home run in Europe, which is just unbelievable that they'd gone that long without being beaten at home. And for Real Madrid not only to beat them, but to dismantle them and win that game 3-0, did feature that. One of the best goals I've ever seen, I think.
Really?
In terms of athleticism, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, were you not impressed?
I was. In terms of best overhead kicks I've ever seen, it was horrible to watch from an England perspective, but that Zlatan Ibrahimovic overhead kick for Sweden against England.
Didn't you think that was just poor goalkeeping?
He was
though?
Out a little bit from Joe Hart, but that takes the trophy for me, that does, in terms of best overhead
kicks. I just thought the athleticism for him to get so high, and then not only get that high, but then to be able to still get over the ball and keep that ball down was phenomenal. And it said a lot about the quality of the goal that the Juventus fans did in unison
applaud. Yeah.
And I thought that was... I wouldn't have. If I was a Juventus fan, I'd just have booed, I think.
I thought
does that
say well.
More,
I,
does that say more about my character? Or is that, I just think that's...
Possibly.
I just think that's the way football should work.
Yeah.
You're there to support your team. You're not there to support the other team.
Maybe so. I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm not sure I'd stand an applause. Internally, I might think, well, that was a good goal.
Yeah.
But, I don't think... You don't need to show that kind of level of respect on the terraces.
No, I agree.
That's
I agree with you.
That's not what a beautiful game's about.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. But that was just another fantastic goal in a long line of fantastic Ronaldo goals, and his goal-scoring prowess has seemed to have returned, hasn't it, really? Because he started the season so slowly by his high and exacting standards. But he's now scored in all six of his appearances against Juventus, 9 goals in total. So we're going with pretty obvious bets here. But Ronaldo to get on the score sheet again looks likely to me. He's 8-13 to score any time in this game, Ronaldo. And given that he's got 26 goals in his last 15 games for club and country, 8-13 is not too short, in my opinion.
It almost makes it the wrong price, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
When you throw those stats.
And you think he's scored in every Champions League game this season. Mm. He'll be desperate to keep that run going. He's scored in 10 consecutive appearances for Real Madrid as well. Shouldn't he be shorter than 8-13 to score any time, really? Cristiano Ronaldo is 5-2 to score 2 or more as well. Here's a question for you. We previewed the game between Barcelona and Roma. That's obviously in Rome, that one. They're a very similar price, Barcelona, to go to Rome and win, as Real Madrid are to beat Juventus at home. Pretty much the same price.
Yeah.
Which one would you rather have?
I would genuinely prefer this one, and I can see your line of thinking. Juventus are a better side than Roma.
Yeah.
The Serie A table will tell you that, but just the performance in the first leg against such a good Juventus defence, I'd be in agreement. I think I would rather take Real Madrid here, even though neither side need to win. Players like Ronaldo, who are so ultra-hungry all the time.
Yeah, he's driven, isn't he?
Yes. I'd agree. I think I would rather have Real Madrid.
I think I would just about. There's one crucial bit of team news here that we need to mention as well. Sergio Ramos is suspended. I mean, he's talismanic. You think about how Ronaldo leads from the front. He's the leader at the back and in the dressing room, by all accounts. Mm. So Sergio Ramos being suspended after that booking in Turin.
Do you think it was a tactical yellow card?
But possibly.
They've got previous, haven't they, Real Madrid?
I think they know what they're doing, don't they?
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
And possibly. Mm. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, given they are 3-0 up in the tie.
I'm trying to remember what the score was when Ramos went into
probably not, because he got booked in the 55th minute of the game and they were only 1-0 up at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Ronaldo scored his overhead kick just after the hour mark, and Marcelo compounded Juve's misery.
Perhaps
after the 70th minute. So maybe you've been a little bit cynical there, Sam.
Yeah, perhaps.
So I just think you look through the record books, the history books, when it comes to Real Madrid at home in the Champions League and Cristiano Ronaldo scoring goals. I mean, they've won 23 of their 32 home matches against Italian opposition as well. I think Madrid will win this game, even though they don't need to. Mm. And I am saying that with some reluctance as well, because I'm going for a couple of sides, or a few sides that don't need to win, that are priced up accordingly. But I think Real Madrid win this game. I like Ronaldo to score as my best bet, though, 8-13. I think statistically it's a good bet, and I think it sets up well for him because Juventus have got to come after this game as well.
Yeah, yeah, 8-13 for Ronaldo to score any time, and 5-2 to score two or more. Do keep an eye on the William Hill website and the William Hill app for the enhanced odds offers, which will be going live on all four of those Champions League games closer to the time. We've still got one British side still involved in the Europa League as well. So we'll preview Arsenal's trip to CSKA Moscow, where the hosts are 11-4. It's 13-5 about the draw. And 19-24 Arsenal, who are 66-1 on to progress to the semi-finals. It's 14-1 about CSKA Moscow to go through. And Arsenal have sort of steadied the ship of late, Dave, and their resurgence was kick-started in this competition. They're now 6 straight wins in all competition. Very, very good over 2 legs to get the better of Milan, who have disappointed this season, but a 5-1 win on aggregate over 2 legs was very good. They've also beaten Watford and Stoke comfortably in the Premier League. A couple of hairy moments to get past Southampton at the weekend, and they were very good in the first leg of this one, winning 4-1. We know it's been said time and time again that travelling to Russia in European competitions is one of the tougher places that you can go to. But they've got such a healthy advantage from the first leg. It again, would be hard to see them throwing this away, although they're perhaps more likely candidates than some of the teams that we've mentioned.
Yeah, I think they're underpriced, actually, in this one, Arsenal.
Right, okay.
At 19-20. They're a bad favourite, in my opinion, here. Yeah. And you mentioned that it is almost cliche to say it's a difficult journey into Russia. But it's one that Arsenal haven't coped well with in the past. They've never won in Russia.
Okay.
They've been there 4 times, drawn 1, lost 3. All 4 of those matches have been in Moscow as well. They've drawn 0-0 against Lokomotiv back in the early 2000s, 2003, 2004, in a Champions League group stage. And their only previous 2-legged knockout tie with Russian opposition came back in 82-83. So I've got to go a long way back, not really relevant here. But they were beaten 8-4 on aggregate. But I think it will be difficult, even though CSKA Moscow have a pretty abysmal record when taking on English opponents. I mean, they've won 3, drawn 5 and lost 12. And they have already lost to English opposition this season as well. Lost 4-1 at home to Manchester United on the second match day of the Champions League group stages. So that's something you've got to take into consideration as well. And you look at their standing in the Russian league, only 3rd behind the other two Moscow teams, Lokomotiv and Spartak. So they're probably enduring a difficult season, CSKA Moscow. But before that 4-1 defeat against Arsenal, they had been in a pretty decent run of form. They'd gone 4 matches without losing. They'd won all 4 of those games. I think that's the only negative I've got with CSKA Moscow is that they've not quite performed up to expectations in the league. But Arsenal don't need to win this game. It is going to be a difficult journey for them. And I can see them coming through but not winning on the night. Mm. That's the way I view Arsenal here, having built up that 4-1 advantage from the first leg.
And they're maybe not so full of confidence, this Arsenal side, that they can approach it in the way that, that Real Madrid and Barcelona will be approaching their games.
It won't be
in the back of their minds that, oh, we could potentially throw this away here. I know what we're like. Let's just try and be defensive.
Well, that's it. And we've seen in this competition already that... Ostersunds,
yes,
for instance,
3-0
up after the first leg, then lost that second leg at the Emirates by 2-1. Arsenal are not a side that I'd want to trust going into a second leg when they've built up such a healthy advantage at odds on. And that's what we're talking about here, 19-20 on Arsenal. And I'm not ready to trust them at that sort of price, even though CSKA Moscow look pretty weak, in all honesty. I actually think CSKA Moscow might win this, something like 2-1. It'd be a correct score I'd look at. That's 11-1. But I fancy CSKA Moscow to win it at 11-4. But I do fancy Arsenal 1-66. I think they will end up progressing.
Yes, it looks as though Arsenal will be going through to the semi-finals of the Europa League. Plenty of European football then to get stuck into this week. Do make sure you keep an eye on the William Hill website and the William Hill app for those enhanced odds offers, which will be priced up a little bit closer to kick-off time. One final question then, Dave. Do you have a favourite bet this week on what's become a tricky week of European betting, given the way all the ties are laid out?
My best bet, I think Ronaldo to score at 8-13. I just think it should be shorter than that, in my opinion.
The stats say that it should, to be fair, even though 8-13 for any time goal scorer feels short, but this is a completely different kettle of fish that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a different beast to most other international footballers, and the debate keeps on raging about who's better, Ronaldo or Messi. And
we'd better not get stuck into that.
No. I think everyone thinks that Lionel Messi is probably the better of the two, but they're
it's probably because he is, Dave.
Yeah, they're incomparable though, aren't they?
They're completely different players.
And Ronaldo being older as well, he's got that longevity of career.
Oh, you could certainly see him playing at a higher level for longer than Messi.
Yeah.
He's such a fine athletic specimen, as much as a great footballer as well, which Messi perhaps doesn't have in quite the same way that that Ronaldo does.
Mm.
Anyway, thank you for another time. Thank you, Dave, for joining me on the podcast this week. Thank you for listening to The Punts. Do make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of those European ties this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.